Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. My name is Lee Younger. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is a message that I gave on Sunday morning, May 23rd, 2021, out in Elm Grove Park, speaking from John chapter 8. All right, so in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us that God is always working everything together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And he says that one thing that he's up to in that business is that he is making us conform to the image of his son, that he is making us like Jesus. And everything that's happening, we might not always know the reasons or when it's, you know, when the hard things are going to end or how long the good things are going to last, but God is always working things together to make us more like Jesus. When I was a kid and first heard that idea, my brain immediately went to this one place, because when I was a kid, me and my friends, we would go up to my buddy Jonathan Simmons' house, and we would play this game that I think a lot of little boys get together and play, which is where you have a fake battle, and then everybody decides which superhero powers they're going to have. And so then you pretend to have the superpowers for that battle, and then you have to follow the rules of your powers and all that kind of stuff. And I was the specialized kind of comic book nerd that I actually had, like, comic book cards, like this gigantic collection, like baseball cards. And then each superhero, you flip it over, and where the baseball player, you would see his stats. On these, you would see, like, all his abilities and powers and strength and all that kind of stuff. And so I always knew if somebody was fudging and they were, you know, saying, that guy doesn't have that power, and I can prove it to you. I can flip over and show the card. Well, when you tell me that God is always working things together so that I could become more like Jesus, I think about that game. And I'm like, you know, which of the Jesus-y things, like if you were to flip Jesus's card over and you see all of his powers and abilities, which ones would you get? By the way, just as an aside, whenever you play that game as little kids, there's always that one jerk that's like, I'm going to be Superman. And we're like, great, now the game's over. Way to go. And that was Jason Goff, by the way. I don't know where that guy is, but we started playing that game without inviting him. But yeah, so, like, you know, when I think about that, you know, God is making me more like Jesus. If I was to flip over the card and look at all of his abilities, like when I was a 10-year-old, 10, 11, 12 years old, I think I would probably want the teleporting thing. You know, like after Jesus was raised from the dead, he has the ability to just teleport. He just disappears from one city, appears in another one, inside locked rooms. I'm like, that is awesome. That would be super, super cool. Or, like, once I was on up into middle school, I think it would be the multiplying food thing, because, you know, my parents used to give me money when I was at Robertsville for my lunch for the whole week, and I would just, like, buy as little as possible and then pocket the rest of the money and just somehow try to survive. And I have to be honest and say, when I was preparing this message, I didn't know my dad was going to be here this morning. I just want to say, before you start calculating how much money I owe you, I think we should let bygones be bygones. So the multiplying food thing would have been cool too. But I got to, at age 42, I flip over the card and I look at all the things, all the abilities and powers of Jesus. And I look at Jesus and say, I just would love for God to go ahead and make me like Jesus in this. He was never afraid and he was never mean. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if God could just go ahead and get me to the place and get you to the place where you were like Jesus in this? You were never afraid and never mean. Gosh, what an unbelievably cool world it would be if the Christians were the people who were never afraid and never mean. I think people are wishing Christians would be a little less afraid and a little less mean, right? I mean, this is what we need to be. And at my age, this is what I wish I could be, this guy. Jesus was never afraid of anything. There was a time where Jesus gave a sermon. He said some things people didn't like. By the way, what he said was, the Messiah, me, I'm here to care about poor people and foreign people. And everybody was like, we don't like that. And as a mob, they drove him out of the town and pushed him up onto a cliff. And it said they were going to throw him off the cliff for this little sermon. And if that was me, I would have been terrified. I would have been scared to death knowing this is it. This is where my story ends, right here. Jesus wasn't afraid a bit. He turned around, looked at everybody, and just walked back through the crowd. I don't know what that looked like, but that's amazing. Never afraid. There was a time where people picked up rocks to throw at Jesus, stones. People are going to throw him at him until he's dead. He just looked at him, wasn't afraid a bit. There was a time where Jesus was on a boat in the middle of a lake, in the middle of the night, no lights, no anything. This huge storm comes up. The boat's rocking. They're taking in water. Guys who had grown up on this lake, who knew these waters and these boats backwards and forwards, were scared to death. So you know it was like not a normal level of storm, not a normal level of rocking the boat. And Jesus, not only was he not afraid, he wasn't even awake. He's like so unafraid. He's like, I'm just going to take a nap. Everything's cool. Never afraid. There was a time, Jesus' last night on our earth, he was ambushed in the middle of the night by 500 armed guards that were asking where he was. If that was me, I would have been freaking out. I would have been running for the hills. But Jesus stepped into the torchlight and said, I'm the one you're looking for. In the middle of stones, in the middle of storms, in the middle of stop right there, he was never afraid. And Jesus was never mean. He was never mean. There was a time where Jesus was in a crowd of people, and all these people who didn't like him at all, who were plotting his assassination, they were publicly trying to humiliate him, questioning the legitimacy of his parentage and birth. Just a really, really uncool thing to do in public. And I'm telling you what, if that had been me, I would have lost my ever-loving mind. I would have gone off, and I would have had all kinds of stuff to say. And Jesus didn't. He was never mean. In the middle of insults, he was never mean. There were so many times in the Gospels where people just set Jesus up just to trap him, just to question him, like an inquisition. They just wanted to catch him failing, catch him messing up. And he was never mean in the middle of that. If I knew somebody was setting me up, I would absolutely flip tables and go off. That's not when he flipped tables. He wasn't mean like that. And on his last night, again, face to face with the guy who was supposed to be his friend, who's about to betray him, who only probably came to dinner, by the way, to get where the prayer meeting was going to be afterwards so that he could tell people where to find Jesus. Jesus knowing all of that. And if I knew that, I would have gone off on this dude. Jesus face to face humbles himself and washed his feet. Never mean. In the middle of insults, in the middle of inquisition, in the middle of the injustice of being betrayed by a friend, he was never mean. Jesus was amazing. That's where I would want to grow to be like him. Never afraid and never mean. And I think about why was he like that? How could he be that guy? And one thing I know about myself, and I think is true of a lot of us, is that we get afraid and we get mean in the same way, at the same time, and for the same reasons. I know when I get afraid, a lot of times it's not just I'm afraid of bad things are going to happen, it's going to be some cruel twist of fate, or the universe doesn't go my way. When I get afraid, it's because I'm afraid that bad things are going to happen because I messed up in some way, right? Because I caused this. Because I wasn't enough. I wasn't who I was supposed to be. I didn't handle things right. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. I wasn't enough. And now things are going to go south and it's going to be my fault. A lot of times the reasons that I'm mean are because knowing that I'm not enough, knowing that I'm not okay, knowing that things are not going well or that I have messed up, I look around at people who seem like they're really great and I want to feel mean to them. I feel like I'm in competition with people who are beating me in the competition of life. And so I withhold my love instead of giving it out. The meanness comes naturally, and it comes at the same place in the same way at the same time. When I'm not enough, I get afraid. When I'm not enough, I get mean. I get unkind. We get afraid and we get mean at the same way. It's like two sides of a coin. And I think that's because we live in a world that is kind of an old school world. It's a world that says, hey, you want a life that's good and safe? Go earn it. Go make it happen. You go be enough. Be responsible. Be mature. Be disciplined. You go put your life together. You earn it. And so that's why we get so afraid when it doesn't work out, because I probably screwed this up in some way, right? This is why we're afraid, because we live in this old school world. It's like those old school authority figures we used to have that say, look, you want things to go your way, you figure it out, dude. You make it work, you earn it. We live not only in an old school world, we live in a stern world. We want to get pat on the back. We want to get those words of affirmation. We want the attaboys. We want to know that we're enough. And we live in a world that says, you want the pat on the back? Prove that you deserve it. Prove it. You want a good life? Earn it. You want a pat on the back? Prove it. You want somebody to tell you that they love you? Get over it. That's the kind of world we live in, right? We live in an old school world. We live in a stern world. We live in a cold world. And that's the thing that makes us afraid. Afraid of screwing up. Afraid of messing up. Of saying the wrong thing. Doing the wrong thing. And all of a sudden our life is tanked and it was our fault. Or we're not enough. We don't say the right things. We don't do the right things. And we look around the people that do. And it's like, now everybody around me is a threat. And now I've got jealousies and competition and all of these problems. And it's everybody else's fault. And then you look at Jesus. And in the middle of stones, in the middle of storms, in the middle of stop right there, he was never afraid. In the middle of insults, in the middle of inquisition, in the middle of an injustice, of betrayal, he was never mean. How was he never afraid or never mean? I was reading this week that place where those guys questioned Jesus' parentage in John chapter 8. He's in this conversation with guys who were afraid to lose their place and their position. Guys who hated Jesus because they were jealous of him, because he was a threat to all of their relationships and all of their systems. And he's in this conversation and he tells them, here's the deal with you and me. The difference between you and me is I know the Father and you don't. That's the difference between us. I know the Father and you don't. There's a place it's in verse 29 when Jesus says, I know that the one who sent me is always with me and I'm always pleasing to him. There's a place in verse 38 where Jesus said, look, I'm just telling you things that I have seen in the Father's presence. He said, if you guys knew the Father, if you knew him like I knew him, you would love me. You wouldn't be mean. You wouldn't be unkind. You wouldn't hate me. You would love me. The problem is you don't know the Father. I've seen him. I've been there. I've heard him. If you knew him, you would rejoice at this day. Abraham did. Abraham was ready for my day. If you knew the Father, you would love me. We would love each other. It would be this whole awesome thing. The problem is you don't know the Father. And there was a glimmering moment where something amazing could have happened. That story could have taken a left turn and been the coolest thing in all the Gospels, and it didn't happen. You know what could have happened right there? If one of them had said, hey, Jesus, you've seen the Father?
Yep.
You've heard the Father's voice?
Yep.
What's he like? Will you tell us about the Father? That would have been the coolest moment ever. And it would have been the moment where those guys would have gone from afraid and mean to people who are like, I don't have to be afraid and I don't have to be unkind. I can be courageous and I can be kind. Why is that? If they had asked Jesus, Jesus, tell us what his voice sounds like. Tell us what his face looks like. Tell us about the Father. Jesus could have said, remember, guys, remember Psalm 91. Remember how it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest, who will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. And then he said, remember what it says next, guys? He will cover you with his feathers. And under his wings, you will find refuge. Remember that, guys? That's what the Father's like. Your problem is you don't know the Father and you think he's like this world. You think the Father is an old school kind of Father. You want a good life? Earn it. You want to make a life for yourself and you got to earn your money. You got to work your job. You got to build your house, take care of your family. You got to earn a life. And he's like, no, the Father's not like that. The Father's like, hey, come here, get in my wings. He's like a mother nursing her baby. He doesn't have those harsh words of go earn it. He has words like, there, bub. It's going to be okay. Come on in here. I'll hold on to you. Remember, guys, that's what Psalm 91 said. I've seen him. I've heard him. That's who he is. And people who want a pat on the back, if you feel like you're not enough, you probably think that the Father is like this old world. You probably think it's stern. You probably think the Father is like, you want a pat on the back? Prove it. Prove that you've earned it. But that's not what he's like. He's not stern. Jesus might have said, remember Zephaniah chapter 3, guys, where it says he rejoices over you with songs of joy. He's not a screamer. He's a singer. He's not old school. He's a shelterer. He's not a screamer. He's a singer. He just sings over you. He loves you. And if you have a place in your heart that's like, I just need affection. I need to know that I'm loved. I need to know that I'm taken care of. And you live in a world that says, you need somebody to tell you how much they love you all the time. Get over it. And if you think the Father's that way, Jesus would have said, hey, remember Psalm 17 where he says, you're the apple of my eye. Remember the book of Hosea when he said, I can't do it. I can't leave you. I love you too much. My heart is too tender towards you. I can't stop loving you. If I tried to, I couldn't. Jesus told the story of the prodigal son and his dad who jumped off the porch, ran down the road, and tackled his son with hugs and kisses. He's not cold. He's a smoocher. The Father is not old school. He's a shelterer. He's not stern. He's a singer. He's not cold. He's a smoocher. If those guys had said, Jesus, tell us what the Father is like, he could have said, guys, he is awesome. He is tender. He's ridiculous with his affection. If you need somebody, if you're having a hard time and you feel like, some days I'm just tired of being responsible and mature and trying to make it all work out for myself. You have a Father that says, there, baby, it's okay. That's all right. I get it. You're mine. If you need somebody to pat you on the back and tell you they're pleased with you, you got somebody who sings over you with songs of joy. Gosh, if you need somebody that tells you that they love you, you got somebody that says, out of everybody I've ever made, you're the apple of my eye. I couldn't stop loving you if I wanted to. And guess what? I super don't want to. Here's a bunch more kisses than you want to get. This is the Father's heart. This is probably why Jesus spent so much time with the Father. He woke up in the morning going, I can't wait to get there. Who wouldn't want to be with a dad like that? He's unbelievable. He's ridiculous. If they had asked him, what is he like? Jesus could have said, he's awesome, guys. You don't have to be afraid of messing up all the time. You don't have to be mad and in competition with anybody. You've already won the affection of the heart of God. You got everything you need. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be mean. It's where I want to grow. That's all I got to say. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for my friends. Thank you. Thank you that you are like the Father. I want to get in the presence of a dad like that. I want to spend time with the Father the way you did. No wonder you got up in the morning and just hung out with him so, so much. You couldn't wait to be with him. It made you brave. It made you kind. May you make us brave and kind. Make us never afraid. Make us never mean. Get us in the habit, in the heartbeat of hanging out with and spending time with our sweet, tender Father. We love you. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide. Abide forever. Under his wings, what a refuge from sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for life's trial. abide forever.